Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronnie Tarmack. Ronald, you are back in the state of dreams, Ohio. Loving life, loving your Wi-Fi, loving the attention you got from one Beth Moore this week. This was a Pipe and I were discussing yesterday before our sports pod. This may have been your best like week and a half run of Yoda work ever. Yeah. Really strong Yoda week.
Suss that out for me, baby, because I'm certainly not seeing it like that, but lay it out.
Well, we've got this theory that you do your best Yoda work when you're in Ohio, like the state of despair. So when you're back from the mountaintop of Naples and you go back to like where all the despair is, that's when you do your best Yoda stuff. And
I think there's a lot of truth in that, which leads me to think that like when I finally do make that permanent move to Naples, Florida, it's not going to be great for me. It's not going to be a good move.
It's not going to be good for your Yoda work. I mean, your Yoda work is going to take a dip.
Which is my work in my life, obviously.
Which really is your work. Yeah, I mean,
ministry is my Yoda work.
Ministry of Yoda.
Baby, now suss this out for me, because when you are really doing Yoda stuff at a high level, it drifts across my transom. And I learned this week that like Beth Moore, like she retweeted one of your Yoda things. And I want you to just talk about that and talk about how your life's changed from it, because I'm guessing like, is she going to book you to speak like open for her at one of her gigs, or like what's the next step on this deal?
Yeah, well, obviously, boys, it came out of nowhere. I don't know. I did some kind of Yoda tweet. Somebody liked it, and then Beth Moore kind of made a comment about like, oh, this or something. And I don't know if she retweeted. I don't think she retweeted it. I think she just liked it.
No, it was actually – it was a quote from the podcast that I was not on, which, by the way, you guys got some really encouraging feedback on. People really liked the disappointment episode.
Yeah, they like it when we're openly sad. Yeah.
No,
they love to watch us suffer.
We got a couple emails about that when people, it very much resonated. But somebody quoted Ronnie from that episode saying something like, the cross is the cure to the curated life, or something to that effect.
No, the cross uncurates our life.
Something, yeah. And so somebody quoted that. And then Beth Moore replied to the quote and something to the effect of like, oh, wow, this, or, you know, just a very strong affirmation of appreciation kind of thing. And so, Ronnie's famous now is what this boy.
So what happened on the heels of that, Big T, to answer your question is, Beth Moore and I have gotten together. We did a power lunch at Lifeway 2 days ago.
Nice.
And we got a sermon, you know, we got a book study coming out on Song of Solomon next.
Yeah, careful with that sermon. Careful with that sermon business.
Yeah,
and
easy
Beth
with
Moore,
the word sermon, buddy.
Boys, I'm not SBC, so I have freedom. I'm part of the Evangelical Free Church. So if I want to do a sermon series with BM, it's not a prob. And we're gonna lay it out there, you know.
Dude, you and BM straight to the top, man.
I'm not sure that's a great nickname. just throwing that one out there.
I love it. Has she ever had a man speak at one of her things before?
How dare you even ask that question? I feel
a soft man, if it is one, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Baby, I feel offended that you would even ask that right now. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just don't tell her about the axe throwing in your past, you know, and I think you'll be fine. Speaking of men,
she's from Texas. I have a feeling she's more manly than a lot of the men who hate her. Like in terms of her capabilities with all things like outdoors and construction and whatever, I would bet that she's better than a lot of the men who criticize her.
Piper, did you just call Beth more manly?
I said more manly than. That's there's a distinct but subtle difference.
There's some nuance in that. Yeah, there's some nuance in that.
I mean, are we allowed to call Beth more manly? I mean, that feels like one step forward, like eight steps back.
Has what we are allowed to do ever played into what we do on this podcast?
We're white, older men. We're not allowed to talk about gender at all. So I think already transgressed.
It only plays in when our boy Big T gets a little, how shall we say, sensitive.
Sensitive.
Yesterday, which is our transition.
That's a good radio segue from a general discussion about manliness to a discussion of the most manly man.
None
that
more
man.
Manly.
Per himself.
None. per himself.
Not even Almanzo Wilder is more manly.
Dude, Almanzo Wilder, baby, is a little girl compared to this guy whose name I'm about to drop on you. His name is Owen Strachan, okay? And if he were on Little House on the Prairie, he would be too manly for the show. They would have to cancel it. So this is a tweet from Owen Strachan, and I'm going to read it to you boys, and then I want to discuss what we got into yesterday via text, a little pre-show prep. This is Strachan on manliness. Quote, men today are often soft, weak, passive, unprotective, but physical discipline is key for men. Here, Paul. This is Paul. I batter my body and make it my slave. 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is Strachan again. Christic manhood is protective, sharp, watchful. The man who is willfully soft physically is often soft spiritually. All right, now I don't want to read texts out loud that you boys sent back and forth, but how do we want to frame this thing?
We frame it by saying truth, and we move on to the next topic.
Oh, baby, that's not what you said yesterday.
I'm kidding. I'm joking, boys. Trying to lighten the mood here.
Should we talk about how? Okay, there's several ways to approach this.
I was going to say there are some options here.
There are some options here. Can we talk? Let's talk first about how Strachan is really like trying to double down on cornering the manhood market. Like he's looking for a manhood book series, I think. My question to you boys.
Well, hold on real quick to you. Pipe. Yeah. Is he still, he's not like the prez of CBM Dub anymore, is he?
No, when he left Southern, and moved to Midwestern, I think he gave that up or shortly thereafter.
So he's not even doing all the Council of Biblical and women and women, man, womanhood.
Whatever
that whole thing about saying that like men are men and women need to stay women. So what he's just a prof now, right? Is that the sitch with a Strachan?
Yeah, he's teaching at Midwestern Seminary, and I don't know that he has any official role with CBMW anymore. But yeah, I mean, he was the president for a while, and I think there was also a sense of possible, like he may be a bit too aggressive and divisive for that role, but I'm not sure about that. I know, shocking, right?
Speaking of divisive, though, boys, we had a little disagreement yesterday. I don't know. I was in a feisty mood via text, unlike usual, and I just begged the question: if somebody else had said this, right? Like if your best bud, Big R, if at Jared C. Wilson, who you're like vacationing with, he's probably like in your house right now eating a scone.
Yeah, he is. Hold on. Hey, Jared, pour me another cup of...
Hey, Jared, what do you think of this tweet?
It's the Red Bud.
So pour me some Red Bud. Red Bud Coffee.
Just do a little promo.
Tastes great with the Happy Rant podcast. But if your bud, if your bestie at Jared C. had read that or had written this tweet, like, would we be going at it? You know what I mean? And I guess that was my question from yesterday.
Yeah, and I think so my answer to that is 100% yes, we would.
I agree with that. If he had written this exact tweet, if he had made a similar point with some level of like balance and nuance, kind of like what Paul does in the text that got pulled out of context there, we wouldn't have responded. We would have been like, yeah, there's merit in physical health. I think all of us to varying degrees pay attention to our health. I don't know that I attach it to being particularly manly. But if Jared had posted that exact tweet, I probably would have first texted you guys and then texted him and made fun of him.
Well, plus the other thing too, boys, is that like Jared does not have a reputation for like posting tweets that are like way out of left field. And I think that we've talked a little bit in the past about what some of Strachan's, you know, posts, you know, that tend to be a little like, how shall we say, polarizing at times.
Dude, so what do you think Strach is getting at here? Like, what's his like deal with this?
What's his end game with
that? If you look at his Twitter feed, he is he I think one of you used the phrase cornering the manhood market.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks a ton like one of those, like, somebody decides they want to be an influencer in. They want to be an influencer in social media marketing, in, you know, personal right. finance, in whatever. And he's just going for it. And so, I mean, it's just, and he's been doing this for a good while, which I guess it's sort of the, if at first you don't succeed, try again thing. But,
But Pipe, where is he at, man? Here's my question, man. Where is he at on the spectrum of like the Josh Buses, like these dudes that are like way, way, way conservative, you know, far, far right SBC dude. Like, where is he in that spectrum? Because it seems like he's kind of over there sometimes, and then it seems like he's a little more middle ground with us sometimes.
He almost just never addresses anything except gender and sexuality. Like, those guys are the anti-social justice warrior types. So, like, they're the ones who are going to throw around, you know, cultural Marxists. They're going to
But go they would totally agree with Strachan's post, don't you agree?
Well, like, sure. I think if you're this version of like, I don't even want to say complementarian, because I think this is a disparagement of actual complementarianism. This version of gender roles, you know, this is your stance on it. You absolutely fall, like, you are saying things that would be agreed with by those far right types. But Owen just never publicly speaks into issues of race or social justice or anything like that. It's really only issues of gender. So, and which gives him a following amongst that right leaning crowd. Like, the two groups that I see really latching onto what he says are those very, very conservative types. Again, I think that might give a bad name to conservatism. Or just young guys, because young guys lean misogynistic easier than do guys who have had some sense beat into them, I think.
Yeah, he's reaching into like dudes that like became Calvinists like 4 days ago that
yeah,
like
sort
loved
of cage stage complementarians, if you will, or whatever. Yeah. Like, I know that when I was in my 20s, my understanding of anything related to complementarianism, gender roles, whatever, was very polarized, very black and white, non-nuanced, and I was an arrogant jerk. So I would have probably latched on to bold statements like that with a lot more readiness than I do now, you know?
And so here's my question then. So do we think he's doing it? So let's like take a deeper dive then. Is he doing it just for the sake of his branding and his audience? Or like, I like what you asked, Big T, like what, like why, like what, like what's the heart behind this? Like what's fueling this? Why was it important for him to say that if you need to shed a few pounds, it's going in line with where your spiritual maturity is at, which is just a ridiculous, like, the statement is so absurd. I hate even dignifying it.
There's a touch of irony in a guy who teaches at a school with the Spurgeon Library talking about how being overweight makes you less manly or less spiritual. Spurgeon was like 5'5 and 300 pounds. That's not a joke. Like, he was a bowling ball of a human being who I think we all look up to as a spiritual giant.
He ran 4.8 in the 40-yard dash, Pipe. That was the thing. I mean, he could still move. He was like Warren Sapp.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, spiritually, an Adonis, not so much physically.
Yeah, for sure.
I got to say, though, man, I mean, I replied to Sammy Rhodes on that. He made a comment about Spurgeon's weight, and I said, yeah, but his hair. Look at that hair, man. It makes
Dude,
up
he had a fabulous mane of hair.
I mean, like hair makes up for all spiritual maturity, is my theory.
Oh, okay. I mean, and well, I guess that's fair. And he did grow a beard to hide that frightening face of his as well. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like once you lock yourself into a lane, a niche lane. So a few years ago, I was talking to a friend, and he did a lot of like social media advising for writers and for brands and stuff like that. And he encouraged them all to like find their niche. Like, what is your niche? Because it's a lot easier to build a following in a niche.
Absolutely.
The problem is it's really hard to keep saying helpful things in a niche, because you get to a point where you're like, I've said all the important principles. I can only rephrase them so many times.
Yeah.
And so I think what you end up doing is saying stuff that's not helpful and unnecessary. So there are a lot of useful things to be said to young men about how to be godly men. There are just a long, long list. But when you have narrowed yourself down to, like, we're kind of fighting a battle against feminism, liberalism, egalitarianism, whatever it is, and you've been doing it for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and but you have to keep putting out content, you just end up saying stuff like this that you're like, that doesn't help anybody. Like, you've just defined manhood by CrossFit.
See, here's the problem, though, and I totally agree. I think you're 100%, but I feel weird in the sense that I don't even feel like guys like you or me or Ron, I don't even think we're able to say the phrase godly man out loud for fear of backlash. You know what I mean? If we say godly man in any sort of a thoughtful way, we get thrown into like this category. And I feel like the only two options are extremes, right? And if somebody had a gun to your head and said, either call yourself a feminist or call yourself one of these like Strachanian guys, like, you know, what are you saying? You know what I mean? And I feel like those are the only two options. And I guess that bums me out. That was kind of what I was getting at yesterday.
Well, I think it depends on who's holding the gun to my head, which answer I give. But
I get that.
But I think it's the camp that he represents, or on the other hand, you know, what the progressive feminist camp who just loathes him,
right,
and his ilk. I think both of those are really good examples of why we need to be able to talk about being a godly man. And then if people get mad, it's like, you know what? You were triggered. Like, you didn't even actually listen to me.
Right. Because
I was talking about character, and I was talking about humility, and I was talking about like work ethic, and I was things that are – I mean, 90% of being a godly man is just being a godly person, and it probably applies to women as well. And then there are portions like at the outsides that are gender specific, because all of us on this podcast, you know, we obviously do believe that in the uniqueness of gender, but not in the same way that of this tweet that we're talking about.
Well, we just have to. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, Pipe. I think that we're just in a cultural moment now where like all the old terminologies have like lost their meaning. So we can't just say conservative. We can't just say complementarian. We can't just say godly man. We got to, every time we say something, we have to redefine what we mean by that term, because those terms are like filled with all kinds of different meanings, like because the spectrum has just continued to widen and widen.
And I think more than any other single thing, right, fills me with just existential despair. Does it you?
Why is that?
Because
suss that out, Big T.
I mean, it turns every conversation into a referendum on your politics, and it turns every conversation that should be 10 minutes into 3 hours, right? While I qualify everything to high heaven so that people don't either think that I'm like one extreme or the other. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, I agree with that, T. I think it's because of the moment we're in, because we are lacking, like we're lacking new definitions for some of the nuances that have come. So in other words, like, so here's one that'll trigger. So just to say I'm pro-life now, you almost can't say that, right? Because what does that mean?
That's
now?
A great example.
But if you say, but T, if you go, well, man, I'm pro-life, but what I mean by that is I'm womb to tomb. Now there's a category now, and everybody knows like on the spectrum where you're at when you say pro-life.
Yeah.
So like that's a new term that's kind of been, you know, introduced that gives a little more nuance and meaning instead of just saying pro-life. Right. So I think we're lacking some new like words and definitions, but I think they're probably coming, you know, but right now we're in a moment, like you said, where it's like, all right, well, let me spend an hour and a half just, you know, sussing out what I mean when I say I'm this or I believe in this.
And I think the gender one is tricky because it's not a gradation. Like there's like the pro-life thing requires some clarification. The gender thing requires a certain amount of reclaiming because we've gone from a universally accepted two genders a few years ago to a a gender fluidity in society, as well as a spectrum of, so not just gender fluidity, but like sexual preference and sexual orientation, because I guess preference is probably the wrong term. And so you get that whole thing. And so to say godly man probably means less than it ever has, but it also means more than it ever has. And it requires a certain amount of sort of humble willingness to stand your ground and go, no, I do mean godly men. I don't mean that version of godly men, because I don't think that's godly or necessarily manhood. But there, I think we have to hold on to those terms, because you can modify pro-life for clarity. You can't really modify manhood.
Mm-hmm.
You can discard it or you can fix it, but you can't really modify it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You can't modify it, but you still can clarify it, Pipe.
Well, I mean, sure. And so much of that is in how it's done as well. Like if the three of us are going to talk about being godly men and we're exemplifying something that is, you know, that is respectful to people of all genders, that is humble, that also has a strength, you know, a strength of character, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what it sort of gives meaning to it. But when you start throwing on like godly men must hit the gym, you're confusing the issue, not clarifying the issue.
Yeah. And it's contextual too, right? Because man, you're going to be around some people and they're just going to understand what you mean. They're going to know you. They're going to know like your heart behind what you mean when you say godly man. And then you're going to be in other instances or contexts where you're going to say godly man. You're going to say, but what I mean by that is not that this is some like, you know, macho, you know, I got to be at the gym. I got to be like gargling like razor blades and like, you know, doing all that kind of stuff to sort of prove my manhood. And so, I mean, but I think we're always faced with that, right? With like anything that we have to sort of assert our position on or our views on, right? But I hear your like sort of your aggravation with it though, T. I mean, I think we
well, do. Sure. And I think the context is important too. Like, I just feel like right now, today in 2020, and maybe this is sort of elevated by working at a university, like I feel like this is the only issue. You know what I'm saying? I feel like just kind of psychically, I spend 85% of my like mind space navigating this issue, or variations of this issue. And, you know, more and more teaching is an exercise in just eggshell walking and trying not to offend anyone on, you know, either extreme of this thing. And yeah, it's just tricky, you know. It's tricky, it's discouraging, it makes me feel old, to be honest. I mean, it just makes me feel like our grandparents must have felt, you know. It's a huge downer, basically.
I think to pivot a little bit, I think there's something a little more at stake when we talk about this right now, and that is if Jared C. will think that this episode is funny enough.
Well, yeah.
So I think we really need to discuss that for a few minutes, because that's that's important to us.
Does he want us to go back to being funny?
Yeah, he made a comment about he was disappointed in our disappointment ep. So he said, hey, you know, when's HR going to be funny again?
Yeah, but Beth Moore liked it. So, you know, one of them has a blue check and the other doesn't. And so I think one opinion matters.
Oh, dude, is at Jared C going to be threatened by the fact that you're like kind of moving your career forward with Beth Moore now instead of him?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of people are threatened right now, baby. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that woke up this morning feeling like I got to rebrand. I got to rethink. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I got to rethink my life.
Because I feel like you were kind of doing this dance with Jared C, and now it's all the energy is going to Beth now.
Dancing with Jared C is not manly. Let's just get that out in the open. I'm triggered by this language.
We're secure. We can dance together. I can write a Song of Solomon, Bible study with Beth Moore. It's not a problem. All of it's okay.
Maybe is Jared C a dancer? Like, if you were in the right context.
Oh,
and, like,
are you kidding me?
The right song came on. I just don't know. I don't hang with him every other day like you do.
Have you seen that guy? Just one look at that guy.
No, I've literally never seen the guy in my life, baby.
No, man. Well, look him up on social media, baby. I mean, that dude's a dancer. I mean, one look at Jared C and the first thing that comes to your mind is dancer.
Yeah, modern day Fred Astaire.
He has a strong Footloose vibe to him.
100%.
Does he really? He's going to an empty barn there. He's going to like an empty barn in Kansas City or wherever he lives and just dancing out his feelings.
He's singing in the rain, man. It starts raining and
Is there a better place to do that than Kansas City? I mean, what better place to go, you know, dance your soul into a better place?
Absolutely.
I can't wait to we're going to suss that out at Live at Midtown too. Is Jared C. Wilson dancer.
Cool. Well, tiny dancer. Hold me closer? Question mark. How close are you guys?
I used to be friends with Jared C. and then we did this app.
Yeah, well, no.
Yeah, but at least we're trying to be funny again. And that's all for him.
Yeah, we're trying so hard.
This one goes out to you, Jared.
Lest we talk about gender all the time, which I really feel like for the last 2 months is kind of all we've talked about on this program. We've kind of danced around it. Yeah, dude, this is recurring. Yeah, speaking of dancing, I mean, and it's the classic, like, we still kind of, the three of us, I think, want to appear cool to like legit liberals, but we also don't want to burn our bridges with like legit conservatives. I mean, it's a delicate position we're in.
It's a tightrope that we are dancing.
Don't you think it is, though? Like, all kidding aside,
I'm losing interest in trying to be cool to either side because it's exhausting.
Oh, like, because
that's where all of the nuancing that is so annoying is what you were talking about, where you have to rephrase and reframe everything. And I don't mean that I don't mean that I want to, like, I don't want the pendulum to swing to where it's like one side or the other is the butt of every joke, but just to be like, whatever, right. We do what we do. And those who have a sense of humor and can think in a little bit of nuance, like, come on in, the water is fine.
Well, dude, we're not political. I mean, Pipe, you're like, Ted, I know me and you, like, we are the least politically driven people on.
Dude, we really are. And I think
listeners probably are a little more, you maybe bend a little more that way, not in a negative way, but maybe you have more concerns towards some of those things than we do. But overall, this is a program that does not bend in that direction, like almost at all.
Well, and both sides, like on either extreme, really do eat their own. And this is what I tell, like, my students who are sort of dabbling in, you know,
witchcraft,
dabbling in like trying to appease the far left or whatever, for example. And it's like, you know, if you keep unraveling that ball of string, like, they're not going to be satisfied unless you become apostate and, you know, do all these other things. Like, you can't satisfy either extreme fully. And, I guess that's where we're at, right? We're just kind of in the middle trying to do our thing. And
well, we're nothing if unsatisfactory to everybody. So,
dude, exactly. That's the wheelhouse we're going to be in. We're going to be literally dissatisfying to everyone. So, that's the new direction of this program, boys. I'm glad you're on board.
I feel confident we can do this, guys. I think that mission statement really speaks to me. We can disappoint everybody.
Happy Rant 2020, dissatisfying to everyone.
I like
there
it.
There we go. Speaking of someone who may be dissatisfying to his old audience, I don't know. It's been a long time, boys, since we've talked about Frank Chan. Frankie. Francis.
Gosh, I love Frankie. I love that
baby,
man.
Baby, we've always loved Frankie, haven't we? Haven't we been a little, like,
just it's not fascinated with his Yeah, we've been fascinated arc. By him. I mean, he's, I think besides Pipes, Pops, Johnny P, I think we're the only two guys in Reformedom that like Frankie. It's a weird thing, man. What's going on with Frankie these days? What do you got, Big T?
Frank's looking a little backlash because of some views he has on transubstantiation. So you gentlemen are men of the cloth. So Ronald, I'm going to let you explain transubstantiation to the audience and to the rest of us, and then we'll get into like just kind of Frankie's wild career arc. This guy's had an interesting run. So explain transubstantiation.
Okay, I'm gonna jack this up for all of you theology nerds out there, but here's my shot at it. It's when you take the Lord's Supper and you believe that the bread in the cup in that moment is transformed into the actual body and blood of Christ.
There you go. That's good. Piper, does that jive with like what you thought about it?
Yeah, I mean that's transubstantiation. So that was pretty accurate and concise description.
Good job, guys.
Nailed it.
Appreciate that, boys. So Frankie, I think, didn't he speak at some like Catholic like youth retreat or something.
Yeah, he preached a sermon and basically I don't know where it was because I don't even know if he has a church anymore. Like I'm a little confused about where his itinerant ministry has taken him, but he's
getting ready to move. He's moving overseas. Florida. Yeah. He's moving.
Moving to Asia, I think. But he basically extolled the virtues of transubstantiation and said, you know, he's always been troubled by a few things about communion, and in looking into the early, you know, some early church fathers' views and things, he understands where it came from and more or less came down on the side of, I think this is what this is, and it adds so much meaning and significance to communion. And of course, then there was a hubbub because Catholics claimed him and evangelicals decried him, and here we are.
Crazy.
Fascinating. But do we think like – so here's the thing, man. I like what you just said a minute ago, T, about talking about his career arc. Yeah. Because like it's straight – like Frankie has this weird thing where like when you talk about Frank, you never talk about like views on things of more theological nature. Yeah. It's more of just like, man, the church just, you know, is missing the Great Commission and we need to get out there and we need to care about the lost. Like it's – He's way more general in terms of like the things or the theology that the theologies that he really pushes out there. So for Frank to get kind of nailed on like say a particular point of doctrine is like super weird for Frank. You know what I mean? It's like the fact that he's getting nailed on this kind of weirdo point is like fascinating.
Yeah, he's like, this isn't my thing. This isn't what I do. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Piper, I think Frankie is the Kyrie Irving of pastors.
Totally agree.
Like, he's in the Kyrie Irving stage of his career where he's going to end up scoring like 38 points a night for a team that's like last in its conference.
I think he might be more like the Stephon Marbury point of his career, which is former All-Star who takes his game to China, where he becomes an even bigger star on an entirely different stage.
So, boys, let me remind you, we're not doing a sports app right now.
There it is.
Let's see.
Accountability.
Is there a way to – I'm trying to think if there's a way to move this into another arena of arts and performance where Ronnie could speak into it.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, who's the music industry comp for Frank Chan, Piper?
Yeah, I'm trying
Ronnie
to
hates,
think, like
– he hates this bit. He hates what he
does. I hate it.
It's got to be somebody who made it really big in, you know, kind of a prominent genre of music and then was like, I'm going to go do mime or something, you know, or go do, you know.
He just quit.
I'm going to become Bob Dylan after having been part of a massive rock band or something.
Dude, is it like a George Harrison kind of arc? Like, you know, you're in the Beatles, you're in this huge, you know, deal, but then you like kind of do your transcendental meditation, like. You know, you're kind of zen, you're
like
zen out records.
Transubstantiation and transcendental meditation.
I almost said
transcendental substantiation. Yeah,
exactly.
Just some educated guys here talking about theology and stuff.
Absolutely. A couple of theologians chopping it up, you know.
I think it could be that, but that feels more like the Mark Driscoll one where you go like super huge mega church and then just sort of everything kind of falls apart for whatever reasons and you go a crazy direction. This is kind of like that, but it feels more like he just sort of disappeared off the scene altogether. You know, you find out there's a Hollywood actor who just sort of disappears and then he opens like a community theater in Brussels or something.
Dude,
like that.
No, you know who he is? Avril Lavigne.
Oh my gosh, T, are you joking?
Dude, no, I'm serious. Like people thought she was dead for a while. You know, she did
You're
like Skater Boy and
with the Avril quote unquote comeback.
Yeah, Frankie is Avril Lavigne.
I feel happy today. That's the biggest. That's the longest bridge I've ever seen built in my life, man. That
Absolutely.
Is awesome, man.
Absolutely.
Is this a disagreement or an agreement, Ron? You stopped it. Like, are you serious? But I wasn't sure if that was like a wow or a what's wrong with you.
Oh, I think it's both. I just don't care. But I think what's more fascinating this is what's more fascinating about Frankie. Tell me if I'm wrong, boys. It is insane that Frankie has gone all of this time with all of his Frankieisms and just getting up, doing conferences, not knowing what he's going to say, saying stuff off the top of his head. And this is literally almost the first time in his career that, like, he's kind of sort of gone off the rails where people are concerned about him. Like, dude, it's insane that it's taken him this long. Like, wouldn't you have thought that, like, this would have happened to Frankie years ago because he's Frankie and he's so just, like, kind of dissatisfied and discontent. And he's always just so, like, angsty about everything. I
dude,
can't
that's been a
that,
good part of the shtick, though. Like, I think
I agree. But
everybody's really comfortable with, like, a certain level of discontentment. You know what I mean? Like, in a weird way, in a weird sort of...
Yeah, it's
alternate reality.
How he encourages people, right, in the faith.
Well, yeah. Well, and it's worked for, like, Paul Washer in a completely different way, right? Like, nobody listens to Paul Washer if he's like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, you know? I'm feeling...
And so are you.
Yeah,
good job,
really
guys.
Nice week.
Well done,
yeah,
buddy.
But I know, but like, what I'm trying to say, boys, is that if you would have, if I would have gone all like prophetic on you guys like 3 months ago, and I would have said, guys, just wait, mark my words, man. You know what they're going to be nailing Frankie on? Transcendental meditation, transubstantiation. Like, dude, like everybody would have went like you, like, dude, seriously, Martin, like it's like you need to get out of ministry. Like something's wrong. Like,
nobody saw this coming. Yeah.
We're talking about Frankie and transubstantiation right now.
Yeah, dude, like, the Vegas line on this one was like 1,000 to 1. You know, nobody saw that.
100.
Yeah, nobody saw that.
It's fascinating, man. It is almost the greatest thing in the world ever.
Dude, you know what Frank did, though? You know what he did for us? He made us funny again. He got us out of the gender discussion that was just filling us all with despair and hopelessness.
Hey, I think you should write a thank you note to Frankie Chan.
Seriously, I think we all should. Exactly.
You just write Frankie Chan on the envelope pipe and somehow it gets to Frankie.
That's like Santa Claus, North Pole, Frankie Chan,
exactly.
Earth.
Frankie Chan somewhere in Asia.
Piper, can we go 20 seconds on like one more thing before I close the show? Because I know Ron's got to go. What do you think of my Avril Lavigne music comp for Frankie?
Oh my gosh, unbelievable.
20 seconds.
I
don't even know if I can do this program anymore.
I feel ill-equipped to speak to this because I didn't like her music back in the day, and I just have lost all track of her, which maybe makes it a very apt comparison. I really appreciate that you pulled the name Avril Lavigne, though, so I'm going to give it an A+.
Frankie Chan, I personally apologize. Not that you're into transcendental meditation now, but because one of our hosts compared you with Avril.
Man, a lot of... Yeah, just... A lot of hot takes this morning, boys.
That
happens when you start off with Owen Strachan. You end up with hot takes. Like, it really sets the bar.
Dude, how bummed is Owen that we started with him and ended with Avril Lavigne, though? I mean, I think that...
You think it would help him feel better if I told him I was going to go to the gym later?
Absolutely.
I'm going to go work on manliness at the gym.
It would be hard even more if you went to the gym with him.
You're going to be a hard Christian man. What do we think Owen's workout consists of? Is he flipping tires or like swinging hammers at a tire?
Maybe,
or whatever?
Isn't he the hip-hop guy? Doesn't he work out with words? Doesn't he work out with rhymes?
I don't know. Maybe he takes like a hip-hop dance class at his gym there. I don't know.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I need to cool it, man, because I'm going to be starting at Midwestern in May.
Who wants to see Owen pop, lock, and drop?
Oh, boy.
There it is.
The mind wanders. The mind really wanders, just like we have wandered.
My apologies, guys. Didn't mean to cause anyone to stumble.
Ted, really quick before you end, what would happen if Frankie was in a room doing transubstantiation with Owen Strachan working? Like, what kind of
like one of those little workout rooms at the gym where like you go in and you just grab a mat and there's a little section in front of the mirror. Yeah, that would be fascinating.
How transubstantiation and transcendental meditation have become interchangeable for Ron. He just said doing transubstantiation.
yeah, exactly. As if it's still like a little routine that you do.
Dude, it is. I think it is. Yeah. I think I'm going to try it today.
Boys, we have wandered to and fro throughout the routine of this program. And far from feeling routine, it was a delight, as it always is. As is Dwell Bible. Get the app, listen to somebody reading the Bible to you out loud, and enjoy it we do.
Yeah, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant to get your discount. It's set up for listeners. You can share it around, so check that out.
We've wandered to and fro, as we always do. Until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.